1 Peter chapter 4. During World War II, England needed to increase its production of coal. Winston Churchill called together labor leaders to enlist their support. At the end of his presentation, he asked them to picture in their minds a parade which he knew would be held in Piccadilly Circus after the war. First, he said, would come the sailors who had kept the vital sea lanes open. Then would come the soldiers who had come home from Dunkirk and then had gone on to defeat Rommel in Africa. Then would come the pilots who had driven the Luftwaffe from the sky. Last of all, he said, there would come a long line of sweat-stained, soot-streaked men in miners' caps. Some would cry from the crowd, "And where were you during the critical days of the struggle?" And from the 10,000 throats would come the answer, "We were deep in the earth with our faces to the coal." Not all the jobs in the church are prominent and glamorous, but it is often the people with their faces to the coal who help the church accomplish its mission. Labor Day's tomorrow, and I was thinking about the subject of work, and so often in our society, the purpose of working is so we better ourselves. We make more money for ourselves, and we rise up through the ranks, and we make good living, and we our social standing is increased, and all that. And usually it's all for me. That's just how society is. It's a me-based society. But if you're blessed to be part of a community that thinks of others, consider it a blessing indeed. As Jason and Maria told me this week about how just the outpouring of love from the community and the farmers that supported the Martin family. It was just incredible to watch. Instead of looking out for ourselves and working to better our lives, which we need to do that, we do, can we instead look to others and serve others? It's something to think about this Labor Day, laboring for others. So let's look at our text, 1 Peter 4. I just want to read 10 and 11. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So this portion talks about spiritual gifts. And you're probably wondering, you know, what is spiritual gifts and service? You know, what does that have to do with each other? And I'll explain that as we go along. But there's five observations I want to make about spiritual gifts. And the first one is every Christian has a spiritual gift, at least one. In the first part of verse 10, it says, as each one has received a gift. If you're familiar with 1 Corinthians 12, it talks about all the gifts the individual people have within the church and how they're all important and work together. And there's not much to say on this first point except to emphasize the fact that God has blessed each Christian with a gift. And to some, possibly more than one gift. And the important thing is to remember that each one of us has a special talent or gift that God has given us. There are many who feel that they're not important, that they really can't claim any spiritual gift at all. They're not talented in that way. And they just don't think, God didn't bless me like that. And the problem lies in our interpretation of a spiritual gift. We often view in spiritual gifts as power gifts, like intercessory prayer or gifted teaching or powerful evangelical preaching or something like that. Not all gifts are played out in the front lines. And I'll give you an example that affected me personally. This has been some time ago now, but I was talking to my cousin on the phone, which we do at different times, and she was telling me that at one point in her life, she had it all figured out. She was going to be married. She was going to have several children, yada, 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 and that was all planned out. Well, she's 44, just turned 44, 3. She'll kill me if I get it wrong. And she's not married and doesn't have any children. And she's working for her sister full-time and doing some other odd jobs. And I told her, I said, don't feel down on yourself because your life didn't pan out the way you wanted it to. I said, you have made a great impact. And the greatest impact she has made is being a good listener. I've called her on numerous occasions just to have someone to talk to. She's a very gifted listener. I told her she'd make a great counselor. And I know of other people that have talked to her as well. Compassionate listening is a real gift. So Yolanda, thank you. It means a lot. So don't be down on yourself if you think that you don't have any special gift. You do. You really do have a special gift. Just ask God to show you what it is. Or better yet, ask someone else to tell you what it is. Because oftentimes, someone else can see, if you're humble enough, someone else can see your gift better than you can. And then the second observation I want to make about spiritual gifts is spiritual gifts are intended to serve others, not to bolster our own reputations. If you look at verse 10 again, as each one has received a gift, minister it to another. God has given people spiritual gifts. We said that. And unfortunately, some have allowed any success of that gift to go to their heads and become an area of pride. They start to advertise how gifted they are in that area. And here's where the concept of servanthood comes in. We're to be serving others with our gifts. And when we start to feel like we've achieved some sort of a talent or we're good at it, then pride can creep in. And we stop looking to God for our help. And then we'll get into that in a minute too. But there's two areas in the way this pride can creep in and be very damaging. And the first way is it makes a person think of themselves better than other people. And I've seen this manifested in different people, and I've also had people share with me that they felt belittled by someone else who felt like they had developed, you know, such a good gift and are so, you know, so talented in this area. And what's one such experience from my past, I had an experience with someone who stated they wanted wisdom from God, and then they felt like God gave it to them. And any time when this wisdom then was imparted to me, I felt like, and I use imparted, it was kind of like I felt very small because they were showing how wise they were. And I've also talked to people who have met pastors or leaders that have held themselves up on a higher level than they should have. An attitude of superiority. I'm more spiritual than you are. And the result is the underlings then feel very spiritually insignificant. And that's not healthy. Another way this pride can affect a person by thinking, you know, they have accomplished this real well is it causes a person to think they're too good to help other people. And I think when this attitude gets to the extreme, then a person gets to the place where I don't need to waste my good talents on people that don't deserve it. I heard of a pastor one time in a board meeting who, when someone disagreed with him, he got very upset and said that, hey, I can go to any church anytime, much bigger than this one, make more money and be more influential. I don't need to waste my time here. Very sad. During the American Revolution, a man in civilian clothes rode past a group of soldiers repairing a small defensive barrier. Their leader was shouting instructions but making no attempt to help them. Asked why by the rider, he retorted with great dignity, "Sir, I am a corporal." The stranger apologized, dismounted, and proceeded to help the exhausted soldiers. The job done, he turned to the corporal and said, "Mr. Corporal, next time you have a job like this and not enough men to do it, go to your commander in chief, and I will come and help you again." Anybody know who the guy was? George Washington. It doesn't matter where you're gifted or how much you're gifted if you're not helping others with that gift. God gave us those gifts in the first place to help others. Also in 1 Corinthians 12, it's mentioned there are many gifts, but there's only one Spirit. And that's the Holy Spirit working in us to keep us humble, recognizing that they all came from God. So if you're good at listening, then take time to listen. If you're good at teaching, then use your ability to help others by teaching and showing them that what God has showed you, but make sure you show them that you're no better than they are. Third observation about spiritual gifts is we use our gifts as stewards, not owners. And the end of verse 10 says, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. God blesses people with many things, and Scripture commands Christians to be good stewards of those gifts that God has blessed us with. That can be property, money, whatever. God gives blessings. A steward is someone who manages another person's property. And that's what God wants us to do because He has given it to us. It's a gift from Him, and we're to use His blessings wisely. Make it vitally clear those gifts are from God. And like I mentioned before, pride creeps in, and it makes it feel like they're our accomplishments. And that's not what it is. It's God giving us those gifts. When a person is given to steward someone else's property, whether like with finances, they invest that person's money wisely, and they use that person's money to make them more money. They are working for someone else. It's not theirs. And that person has entrusted them with something very valuable and expects them to treat it very carefully. And if they don't, they'll take it away and give it to someone else. God has entrusted us with a very special blessing. If He has given us a spiritual gift, which He has given to each person, He expects us to use it wisely. And how can we be wise stewards of this? Well, we need to ask God for opportunities to use our gifts. Do we ask God for opportunities to bless others with the gifts we're given? Are we looking for opportunities to serve others? If we ask God for opportunities, Lord, bring someone across my path that I can bless them through you. Be careful, because He might just do it. He might just give you that opportunity. We need to ask God to keep us humble. To be a good steward, we need to be humble. It's from God. We can't take any credit for it. It's only by the grace and mercy of God that He's entrusted us with a gift, and we need to use it wisely. And we need to make sure that God gets all the glory. Just like a person can decide, hey, you're not treating my investment wisely, I'm going to give it to someone else. I would hate to be in the position where God would say, hey, the gift I gave you, you're not using it the way I want you to. I'm taking it away from you. That would be sad. Let's remember to view any spiritual gift as a very special treasure and use it wisely. And the fourth observation about spiritual gifts is that God is the source and the sustainer of every gift. If you look at verse 11, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability which God supplies. We already stated it's through Him that we receive these gifts. We know He's the source, but I want to focus on the sustaining of those gifts. I would like to, maybe when I get to heaven I can do this, but I would like to go to Billy Graham and ask him, did you ever struggle with fear of public speaking? Go to William Booth in Salvation Army and say, did you ever struggle with being a leader and taking charge? Some other people, were you afraid? Because I really feel like some of these, you want to say heroes of the faith, they had a lot of struggles. But God sustained them. He will supply the strength to get through the times. If we're willing to serve Him, He'll give us the strength to do it. I like the phrase that says, where God guides, He provides, and where God leads, He'll meet the need. Reminded in 1 Thessalonians 5:22 that faithful is He that calls you, who also will do it. I can't do it. Yeah, we can't. We can't do it on our own. We have to remember, with God all things are possible. And you know, God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. And just for a second, a bit on the humorous side, I want you to think about some heroes in the Bible that struggled. Gideon was insecure. Martha was a worrier. Thomas was a doubter. John the Baptist ate bugs. Sarah was impatient. Elijah was moody. Moses stuttered. Zacchaeus was short. Abraham was old. And if that doesn't beat all, Lazarus was dead. And God still used him. So don't feel like your feelings of inadequacy should stop you from asking the Lord to use you. He is the source. He is the sustainer. And the one positive thing about feeling inadequate, be a hard time to develop pride if you're feeling inadequate. So it's actually not a bad thing. And the fifth area I want to notice about spiritual gifts is we are to employ our gifts as though we were serving the Lord. The last part of verse 11 says, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. We stated earlier that we need to be serving people, but ultimately remembering that we are serving God by serving people, by using our gifts to help others. I'm sure you've heard this story before. It's pretty popular, but it fits so well, and I want to read this. There once lived in the city of Marseilles an old shoemaker, loved and honored by his neighbors, who affectionately called him Father Martin. One Christmas Eve, as he sat alone in his little shop reading of the visit of the wise men, visit of the wise men to the infant Jesus, and of the gifts they brought, he said to himself, if tomorrow were the first Christmas, and if this Jesus were to be born in Marseilles this night, I know what I would give him. He rose from his stool and took from his shelf overhead two tiny shoes of softest snow-white leather with silver bright buckles. I would give him these finest, my finest work. Then he paused and reflected. But I am a foolish old man. He continued, the master has no need of my poor gifts. Replacing the shoes, he blew out the candle and retired to rest. Hardly had he closed his eyes, as it seemed, when he heard a voice call his name, Martin, Martin. Intuitively, he felt a presence. Then the voice spoke again. Martin, you have wished to see me. Tomorrow I shall pass by your window. If you see me and bid me enter, I shall be your guest at your table. Father Martin did not sleep that night for joy, and before it was yet dawn, he rose and swept and tidied up his little shop. He spread fresh sand upon the floor and wreathed green boughs of fir along the rafters. On the spotless linen-covered table, he placed a loaf of white bread, a jar of honey, and a pitcher of milk. When all was in readiness, he took up his patient vigil at the window. Presently, he saw an old street sweeper pass by, blowing upon his thin, gnarled hands to warm them. Poor fellow, he must be half frozen, thought Martin. Opening the door, he called out to him, come in, my friend, and warm yourself and drink something hot. And the man gratefully accepted the invitation. An hour passed, and Martin saw a young, miserably clothed woman carrying a baby. She paused wearily to rest in the shelter of his doorway. The heart of the old cobbler was touched. Quickly, he flung open the door. Come in and warm while you rest, he said to her. You do not look well, he remarked. I am going to the hospital. I hope they will take me in and my baby boy, she explained. My husband is at sea, and I am ill, without a soul. Poor child, cried Father Martin. You must eat something while you are getting warm. No? Then let me give a cup of milk to the little one. Ah, what a bright, pretty little fellow he is. Why, you have no shoes to put on him. I have no shoes for him, sighed the mother. Then he shall have this lovely pair I finished yesterday. And Father Martin took down from the shelf the soft little snow-white shoes he admired the evening before. He slipped them on the child's feet. They fit perfectly. And shortly the poor young mother went on her way, two shoes in her hand and tearful with gratitude. And Father Martin resumed his post at the window. Hour after hour went by, and although many people passed his window, and although many people shared the hospitality of the old cobbler, the expected guest did not appear. It was only a dream, he sighed with a heavy heart. I did hope and believe, but he has not come. Suddenly, so it seemed, to his weary eyes, the room was flooded with a strange light, and to the cobbler's astonished vision, there appeared before him one by one the poor street sweeper, the sick mother and her child, and all the people whom he had aided during the day. Each smiled and said, have you not seen me? Did I not sit at your table? Then they vanished from his view. At last, out of the silence, Father Martin heard again the gentle voice repeating old familiar words, "Whosoever shall receive such a one, in my name receiveth me, for I was hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Verily I say to you, inasmuch as you have done it unto the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me." So you think, what are we talking about here? Spiritual gifts or servanthood or service to God? Well, we're talking about all three, because you can't have one without the other. If you feel like you have a spiritual gift, which you do, and if you're blessing others with that gift, let me see if I can back up and make this more clear. If you feel like you don't have a spiritual gift, let's put it to you that way. But if you are blessing others in some way by what you do, back up and realize what you're doing is a spiritual gift, because you're helping someone, you're blessing someone, and that is what a spiritual gift is. Each one of us has a spiritual gift, a special gift that God has given us. And many times, like I said at the beginning, we don't stop and realize that we have a spiritual gift. We don't think enough of it. And that's okay, because again, it's hard to develop pride that way. But don't ever think that what you do is less or more than someone else, because God knows who needs what and what kind of gift we're going to be good at and how we're going to help others. So what is your gift? Whatever it is, remember, use it humbly, help others, and through that, that's how we spread the word of God and bring glory to Him. So tomorrow, I don't know what everybody does here in this church. Honestly, Labor Day isn't a big holiday around here, I don't think. I think it's actually a bigger chance to do more labor. I asked Jason yesterday if he was going to take off tomorrow, and he said, "Is that a joke?" So I guess if you celebrate Labor Day by laboring, just stop and think about what opportunities do you have to labor or serve or bless others. Stand with me this morning.